This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Construction and Power Women Investing.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
And do we have a show for you today, ladies and gentlemen?
And we invite people to visit us at fredjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio.
That's right. And Fred, happy National Strawberry Shortcake Day.
Isn't she a little girl, cartoon girl?
I knew that was coming. And so to back it up, of course, today is also National Children's Day.
Isn't that a little cartoon character?
Negative. But also, on a more patriotic note, today's National Flag Day. Or actually, it's Flag Day, so happy Flag Day, Fred.
Is it our flag?
Our flag. American's flag.
Are you sure?
I love it. And folks, as of course you know, this first segment is brought to you by our friends at Tucson Happenings Magazine. So get online, go to TucsonHappenings.com and check out all the fun stuff there is to do here in the Old Pueblo. Like, coming up June 27th, you've got about, 13 days, 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, to get your tickets for the first annual Southern Arizona Smokin' Showdown at the Club Congress. 7 local chefs are out there to try to win the big...
Hotel Congress.
What did I say? Club Congress. Yep, I meant Hotel Congress.
Club Congress is inside Hotel Congress.
Right.
But you're not doing the barbecue in Club Congress.
No, we're doing it on the plaza.
Yeah.
So we got 7 chefs vying for the belt, the Smokin' Showdown belt. So tickets are $30 and are all-inclusive. The only thing you'll have to bring money for is more beer if you want it. And
beer is horrible with barbecue.
Oh, Fred, you have lost your mind.
Actually, stouts are very good with barbecue.
And what is stout?
It's a thick piece of bread. Actually, it's a liquidy piece of bread.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, nice try, Fred. So tons of stuff going on today, and I mean tons of stuff. And no, if you missed a lot of the good stuff this morning, like the basic maintenance workshop over at Bikus for your bicycle, you can head on over to the Tucson Swap Meet. Today is Steam Sunday at the Children's Museum of Tucson. Get in there, featuring lots of hands-on games, science, technology, engineering, and art and math for the kids. One that I know Fred's going to like, it's Trumpets y Tequila, which is at the rooftop lounge at the playground downtown, where we are right now.
We're not at the playground.
No, but we're downtown.
Yeah, we're in Margo Susco's Hydra. Actually, Margo and Joey Susco's Hydra.
That's right.
Sitting on the corner of 6th Ave and Congress.
That's right. So tons of stuff going on, folks.
Now, here's either a good story or a bad story, Jeff, because we're taping this earlier than today.
Right.
And we're actually taping it on Wednesday.
Right.
So this morning, Wednesday morning, I got an email from the good folks at Tona Chul.
Yeah.
And the blooms are blooming.
So
they're about to bloom. The night blooming cirruses.
They heard my prayer.
What's that?
That we wouldn't have to wait through late July for you and your bloom watch. Blooms are blooming.
Well, maybe.
I love it.
So they're off to the races. So sometime between... I'm saying this because over the last few weeks I've been urging people to get signed up for the Bloom Watch email, the newsletter, the alerts, and hopefully they'll bloom tonight so people can enjoy it when we talk about it. But they may have already bloomed, given that we've taped this show early.
That is so sad, Fred.
No, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
It's actually kind of funny.
And actually, if they've bloomed, I'll probably have pictures on the website already.
Good, good. So remember, okay, so other fun things are happening today. Star Wars, or Space Wars at the Gaslight Theater. We can see Space Wars. You have the annual Pizza Throwdown hosted by the Tucson Originals with Vero Amora sampling all kinds of fun pizza. That's happening up at the Ritz-Carlton at Dove Mountain. fun, tons of stuff going on.
Well, yeah, and we want to remind folks that summer in the city is going on downtown and across the choo-choo track line. So anywhere, it's actually the Golden Mile, which goes down Broadway to Country Club. Businesses all along the Martin Streetcar line are celebrating with a Summer in the City card. They're available at participating merchants for $5, and you get a whole summer worth of fun. And to talk to us briefly about the Summer of Fun and the Summer in the City card, we have the proprietor of Hydra, Margot Susco, who's like, you know, frantically panicking at
you. You know the thing about Margot right now?
What?
So now that you've lifted the veil, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's about 85% humidity.
No, it's not.
About 95 degrees. Margot is standing here with us with a low-cut top. She's sweaty. She's looking hot with those big hoop earrings.
Good job,
Fred, picking this venue to tape the show at today.
You're welcome.
Why, thank you. That's quite the introduction.
And listen to that sultry, smoky voice of the luscious Margot. So what's going on there, hottie?
Hey. Wow, my goodness.
Look at Fred blush.
How are you guys doing today? I'm doing fantastic.
Yes, you are.
Very excited about the Summer in the City program. It's really fabulous, and it's, you know, it's a great way for people to come down. I mean, for $5, you're looking at well over 100 different stores along the streetcar line, downtown 4th Avenue, Main Gate. It's a really great savings. And even if you're not even familiar, you don't come downtown. I mean, come down, grab one, pick it up for $5.
Yeah.
They're available at Hydra, Perfect Pantry. They're available to most of the merchants along the track.
Well, Amy from Perfect Pantry is here as well.
Yes, she is.
And she's even wearing a smock from apron.
It's not a smock, it's an apron.
And she's sweaty also.
Oh, we got a couple of sweaty babes here on the show
exactly.
with us. What
and
do you
I'm
think?
I'm hot, but I'm not the same kind of hot.
Oh, you're so modest. What's going on over at Perfect Pantry?
Perfect Pantry's rocking and rolling. Yeah, things are great. Downtown is changing, and we're feeling it every day.
So tell them, what do you have new at Perfect Pantry? Because you've been changing up lately.
We've been changing up lately. Yeah. So our whole ladies' line, there's so much more than just the pantry now. So the ladies has expanded. We're doing lotions and potions, I call it, all the soaps and lotions and things like that.
Super fun. Made
in USA.
Nice.
So we're really committed to doing that. I won't say we're 100%, but we're striving for local first, Arizona second, USA.
That's great.
So we're doing what we can do to support local in our fabulous country.
Love it.
Yeah. And then we've added men's too. So there's stuff for the guys.
Oh yeah, like what kind of stuff? Like shaving lotion and cologne?
The soaps and the lotions, and we're getting the shaving brushes and a few little shirts and wallets and
nice.
Yeah, some cool stuff for the guys.
Very nice, because we need to look good too.
Yeah,
right,
and smell
Mr.
good in
yes.
this heat.
Especially in the heat. The smelling is important.
Yeah.
No smelling mall.
No.
Good for you. All right.
Yeah.
And Margo, what are you guys selling here? What's moving quick? Your camp shirts?
Well, I'll tell you what. People are really noticing a lot of our vintage. You know, since my brother Joe came back a couple of years ago, he handpicks a lot of our fun vintage. And the vintage reproduction, I'll tell you what, it's huge. I mean, Fred's wearing a bowling shirt, the men's bowling shirts, the women's 40s and 50s reproduction dresses, and the Western. I mean, it's still really, really popular. And the greatest thing is with the younger audience also. We do a lot of 50s dresses for prom, and right now we have 50s bathing suits in, really high-waisted, and they're fun, they're tasteful, and so it's really kind of a neat time.
That's awesome.
It's a fun time to be down here.
Yeah, just for the record, I've been wearing bowling shirts for years.
Just for the record, we'd love you to switch that bowling shirt you've been wearing for years.
You see, but it just goes to show that, you know, if you wear things long enough, they eventually come back in style.
Yeah, Fred, that's like saying a broken clock is right twice a day.
Exactly.
That is
how I work my style.
So
at least twice a decade, I'm okay.
So, ladies, listen up, Fred's trendy now.
Fred's trendy. Oh boy! So, what are you guys doing for Flag Day? How do you celebrate Flag Day?
We wave the flag.
Are you putting up a flag at your home?
Absolutely.
I have a flag everywhere.
Fred has flags on his car,
on my bike,
on his bike. Yeah, we have a big old flag. We'll, you know, we like to get the kids to come outside. We do the flag, and then we have the kids say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
And then they run away and go play on their iPads again.
So do I have a chance to make a plug for a nonprofit that
Absolutely.
I am working with?
Sure.
I'm really proud that I'm working with a nonprofit called Flags for the Flagless. You may have heard of them. The guys are currently in New York City. They were contacted by an elementary school custodial worker. The school was ravaged by Hurricane Sandy, and they are taking 30 American flags over there and replacing the flags. They're having a flag day assembly, and they're flying to New York City to do this. This was started by two police officers a year ago on Flag Day, and they drive around Tucson. They put up American flags. They work with schools to put up American flags if they need them. They give flag protocol, flag history. Should look up Flags for the Flagless Facebook
page. That's their
website? It's their Facebook page. It's Flags for the Flagless. And 4th of July, we have a big project coming up because people donate flags. And, in fact, if you are interested in donating an American flag, you're welcome to drop it off here at Hydra. But the next big event will be on the 4th of July because people donate flags. And these are 9 different flags that were draped over the coffins of their loved ones, and they donated them. So we will have 9 simultaneous flag raisings at 9 a.m. on the 4th of July. Oh. I will be raising a flag at the Old Academy Lofts on 6th Avenue. So if you follow the Facebook page, there's lots going on. It's a wonderful project that I very much believe in. And especially with Flag Day and 4th of July, I wanted to give them a plug.
That's great.
As well, you should.
Yeah, Margo, what's the address for your store here?
145 East Congress. So we are on the northwest corner of 6th Avenue and Congress Street. 791-3711. Again, if you're interested in more information or want to drop off an American flag and donate a flag, you're welcome to drop it off anytime.
And Amy, where would people find a Perfect Pantry?
41 South 6th Avenue. If you're at Hydra, you look across the street, and there I am.
Exactly.
And you're actually going to be right next door to the new Johnny Gibson Market.
Absolutely.
So there's a pantry and a market right
exactly.
next to each other.
And a closet. Yeah, the Hydra. Yeah.
And we are so excited with Paul and Christy and the opening of Johnny Gibson's Market.
Oh, are they open already?
They're going to be open within a couple of weeks. They are just about there.
Yep. That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. So,
all right, folks, so we got to take a break. Don't forget, all the great things happening in Southern Arizona. You get 5 days of fun. Check out TucsonHappenings.com, and we will see you with more here on The Fred Jeff Show.
This bit of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Unicom Graphics, Steel Door, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show.
This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
And did we say the weather?
Yeah.
No, we didn't say the weather, did we?
Well, it's part of everything.
It's part of,
the
yes,
people,
but it's warm.
People talk about the weather.
Yes.
The places, the place talks about the weather.
Yes.
The events.
Yes.
Always concerned about weather.
Yes.
History. There's a lot of weather history.
Well, you know. So this is really the Fred and Jeff Weather Show, right?
St. Juan. The celebration over at Santa Cruz River.
Yeah.
The annual thing they do to bring on the monsoons.
Yes.
That's about weather.
That's right. But we've never had them on. We should have them on sometime.
Yeah, we did.
We did?
Yeah.
That must have been one of the shows I was in a bunker somewhere.
No, probably. I don't know.
Yeah. But today we got a big, big, big show. Now, we've been chasing this guy. Oh, let's see. We've been doing the show now for over 5 years. And having him on the show was one of our first ideas. And then we fell into a black hole and finally figured out how to get a hold of him. And so, ladies and gentlemen, friends of the show, we would like to introduce you.
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad, Auntie Margaret. We would like to introduce you to friend of the show, Mr. Peter Cowgill. How you doing, senor?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, sitting here listening to you guys. A lot of stuff comes out that I'm not quite sure what it means.
We don't know what it means either.
We, you know, we're just having fun.
Yep, that's right.
So you are a Tucsonan, but transplanted from where?
Well, I was born in Minnesota, about 50 miles southeast of Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo?
The lake country in Minnesota. But I got tired of the snow and the sleet and the hail and sub-zero stuff and wind, and so I finally, after a while, I moved to Bismarck, North Dakota, which was not a bit better. Actually, my mother moved
there. Out of the pan into the fire.
Right. It's a Bismarck.
Yeah, and then I went to St. Paul, Minnesota, which was back to the freezing board.
Now, were you going to school in St. Paul?
Yeah, I went to school. I went to grade school, and I went to high school. I hate to say this, but I just about got kicked out of high school for disreputable behavior.
Now, what year are we talking about here?
1942. Yeah, that's prehistoric time.
Oh, well, it's pre-Fred and Jeff time.
Yes, it is.
So what could you possibly have done that was egregious enough to get you kicked out of high school in 1942, other than maybe smoking a cigarette in the boys' room?
Well, I ditched a lot of classes and a whole bunch of neat stuff like that. I finally decided I didn't like school anymore. The hell with it. So I upped and told my mother that I wanted to join the Army. And, of course, I was only 17, and she had to write the thing down in the paper that would allow me to get into the Army at 18, although I was only 17. So she forged my birth date and all that sort of neat stuff, and I wound up in the Army.
So your mom was okay.
She was a pretty neat lady. Yeah.
So she said, okay, honey, you don't want to go to school, you want to go in the Army?
No, she wanted to get rid of me.
Well, in 1942, there was a lot of unsavory characters running around in Europe.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there was a
war. Or at least one.
He had a bunch of friends.
There was a war going on. You know, I wound up taking my basic training in Fort Knox, Kentucky, which is absolutely the worst place to take your basic training in the winter, because it's cold in Minnesota, but it's five times as wet. And we were living in tents as recruits. But anyway, finally they shipped me overseas from the Brooklyn Navy Yard.
The Brooklyn Navy Yard.
Yeah, Brooklyn Navy Yard shipped me overseas, and I went to Casablanca. I didn't see Humphrey Bogart there.
Didn't see Ingmar Bergman either, did you?
No, none of those neat people.
And was Casablanca just a...
You know, I don't really remember too much about the town, because we got off of the troop ship and immediately stuck us on a train, and we trundled all the way from Casablanca eastward across... let's see, what's east of... Morocco is where Casablanca is, and then I think it's Libya, and then Tunisia. And I wound up with the 1st Infantry Division in Tunisia, in Africa. And after the African campaign was over, I was a machine gunner for one of the 26th Infantry, 26th Regiment, and Company K. And then we shipped off and invaded Sicily. And we got lost going over there. And
where'd you end up?
We were supposed to land at Gala, Sicily, and we wound up about 10 miles east. We got lost at night.
Yeah, they got lost and ended up in Crete.
Crete? Yeah.
Hang out with some of the ladies on the beach and then get back on board.
So you...
Yeah, and then we wandered up through Sicily, eventually I got nailed by a mortar shell.
Oh, no kidding.
It dropped right next to me and blew me out of a small canyon, and I don't remember much after that. For a long period of time.
So they
I have no idea how I got back to my outfit or anything like that.
Wow.
No idea.
So they shipped you home after that?
No, they shipped me down to Africa for a station hospital, and then they shipped me back to Sicily and stuck me in another station hospital, and I was with them all the way through the war as a probably a half patient and half slave laborer and all that sort of stuff.
Did they have you cleaning out bedpans?
Oh, they had me doing it.
Oh, wow. So after the war is over, What did you do?
I enrolled. I took a GED test because I wanted to get in college education. So I took that and I passed it, and I got into the University of Minnesota as a freshman. And after about a year and a half, I decided that I was too damn young and too
wild,
too flighty and wild to really concentrate. So I took off and I headed out west in a little old 1941 Mercury, and I wound up here. I think it was in 42. There was an aunt living here and her kids. So I sponged off them for about 6 months.
It could have been 42 you were here.
It was during 43.
43? Okay, so 43
years. Wait a minute. It was after the war.
Yeah, so
after my dates are getting kind of messed up.
I get it. So it was probably 46?
Yeah, 47.
47?
Yeah.
And then you were originally enrolled at the University of Arizona or somewhere back?
University of Minnesota.
Of Minnesota, okay.
And then after knocking around the country, I worked on a bridge gang for the railroad for about a year and a half. Toughest job I ever had. And finally I decided I didn't want to be a railroad bridge gang person anymore, so I went back to Minnesota, and then I wound up at Northwestern University and graduated there in 1951.
And then from there?
I was a disc jockey in San Angelo, Texas, and in Eugene, Oregon.
Wow.
I ripped this news off the AP wire and read that, you know, and I introduced all the songs and did a little patter here and there, and it was fun. It was fun, but I decided that the radio part just really didn't do me too much. So I,
being on radio wasted your handsome talents.
Oh yeah, sure did. But anyway, I
that's why you became a writer.
I became a writer when I finally came back to Tucson and talked to the managing editor of the Star and told him that I'd like to be a reporter, and I told him what I'd done as far as radio goes, and he said, well, write me some stuff. So I started hiking around the mountains here, and I wrote a little column for the Star once a week called Tucson Trails, and they paid me 25 cents a column inch.
Wow.
And after about 4 or 5 months, he said, we got an opening, do you want it? And I said, sure. So I started full time. And
then we'll talk about the rest on. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. We've got lots more here with Mr. Cal Gill on The Fred Jeff Show, so stick around.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Ronstadt Insurance, and Casa de la Luz Hospice.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that made living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's right, Fred.
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. And Jeffrey.
And folks, we're coming to you today from Hydra, downtown.
6th Avenue and Congress Street.
Right kitty corner to the Ronstadt Transit Center. Good times.
Yeah, that's the location of our great-grandfather's last hardware store in the downtown.
Thank you, Fred, for that bit of history.
Yes, and we want to remind folks, if they go to TucsonSummer.com, they can learn all about the Summer in the City program. Lots of stuff going on along the choo-choo train line from University all the way to the Mercado and the Golden Mile down Broadway to Country Club. Tons of activities, discounts.
Right.
Fun activities.
And if you like barbecue, you're going to want to get your tickets.
Really like barbecue.
That's right. Come on down to the Smokin' Shootout, Southern Arizona Smokin' Shootout at Congress Hotel, June 27th from 6 to 9. Seven barbecue chefs competing to be Southern Arizona's best barbecue guy. So get your tickets today because we'll run out of them.
Cool.
And
what?
I don't know. We're sitting here with a Tucson icon.
Oh, yeah. We're sitting here in the middle of Hydra, which is down on Congress and 6th Avenue, right across Kitty Corner from the soon-to-be-opening Johnny Gibson Market.
Right. And our guest this week is Mr. Pete Cowgill, former, well, no, Pete, what, you were a sports writer or a feature writer or what part of the paper did you write for?
No, I started off as writing this weekly column.
Well,
and then I got a...
Let's introduce him properly. Pete Cowgill. You just said his name.
Yes.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. Are you with us this week, Fred?
No, I'm not. I'm totally gone.
Yes.
Totally gone.
So you started off...
Just writing a weekly column, outdoor column, Tucson Trails, I called it. And then when the job opened up, well, I wound up as a full-time reporter, and I was a beat reporter. I covered all sorts of different beats, University of Arizona, city government, county government, and business beat, and so forth.
So you know where all the skeletons are buried.
I know where some of them are.
Care to share any of those with us today?
No, thank you.
So you know the great part about your generation, because we've interviewed guys like Jim Riley, the old county manager.
Yeah.
We've had some great Tucsonans on the show, and during the commercial breaks, we say, "So you were around when this happened? Can you give us the real story?" And every single one of you guys says, "Nope." Not going to tell you.
No.
I don't want to embarrass anybody. I mean, that's that the way you guys treat your profession, even today, being retired, is incredibly admirable. So we appreciate that. So having said that, so tell us where some skeletons are hidden.
I'll let you know when mine gets interned.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So you were a beat writer. I get it.
Yeah.
So you're a beat writer.
Yeah, beat
and
reporter, yeah.
What were some of the crazy things you remember reporting on back in the day?
Oh, there was a pretty famous murder in town. Some guy by the name of Charlie Schmid killed, I can't remember what her name was, some girl. And for some reason or other, the murderer, he looked terrible when I first saw him. He was an absolute bum, you know. Short guy, he had all sorts of hair on his face, unkempt, clothes were terrible, and they dragged him into Justice Court after they arrested him and arraigned him, and I was in there and I saw, my God, this guy is the worst looking person I ever saw. Next time I saw him, he'd been transferred to Superior Court. He had a suit and tie on. I wouldn't have recognized him at all.
No kidding.
But he was.
Did he beat
famous.
The rap?
No, he didn't beat the rap.
There you
go. He wound up, I think, in the chair.
Wow.
That was back in the day.
Back in the day, we did have the chair, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, so you saw a lot of that stuff.
I saw quite a bit of it, yeah.
So what was it that allured you to Tucson from all of your rambling times? I mean, you're in Portland, Oregon, you're in Texas, you're from Minnesota. What was it about Tucson that enticed you to make us your home?
Mountains, and not too cold.
And not too cold.
I hated the cold from being a youngster. But the mountains were nearby, and I knew I could wander around them. And
have you always been a hiker?
Pretty much, yeah.
So where do you hike back in Minnesota?
I don't.
I mean, I've never been there.
You don't.
There's lakes, lots of lakes.
Yeah, there are lots of lakes. You canoe, and then you fish, and do all that sort of stuff. But there's, and you swim if you can stand the cold water. But
So when you were back there in the Midwest, how did you decide that hiking is something that you like to do?
Well, when I came out here and visited my aunt for a while, I saw the mountains and decided I'd explore a little bit, and the bug got me. So I've been a hiker ever since.
And have you hiked all over the world, or do you just know southern Arizona?
Well, I've hiked over quite a bit of Arizona, and I've been down to Mexico quite a few times. I've climbed all three of the big volcanoes down there.
Really?
I'll tell you the names that you won't remember. Iztaccíhuatl is 17,100, and Popocatépetl is 17,009, and the heck's the name of the third one? Orizaba is a common name, but the other one's 18,300, and I've been on all three of them.
And how long does it take you to get from the top to the bottom in just one of those?
But top to down is a lot quicker than bottom to top.
I mean, we're talking because, multi-day hikes here?
No, just, well, we on Popo we did one 2 days because we backpacked up to a lodge partway up, and then from there we went to the top. Popo was scary.
Why is that?
There's a huge crater on top, a volcanic crater, and it was semi-active back then. And when you get to the rim and look down, you can see all of the molten lava sort of swirling around down there.
Wow.
And you can smell the fumes and the stuff is going up, and you don't want to wander south of the rim at all. You just want to stay on the rim.
That will melt your shoes.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, it'd scorch you.
That's amazing. So we're talking in the 50s in southern Arizona.
64 was when we went up to the volcanoes.
Okay. So in the 50s, when you came to Tucson, there were you went to work for the Star.
Yeah.
And you were writing your hiking column.
Right.
They hire you. You're a beat guy. You run around covering city politics and everything that's going on, but you still maintain this love for hiking.
Oh yeah.
And what did you do with that?
Well, I conned him into giving me a full page once a week to write whatever I wanted to about the outdoors and hiking and so forth. We had a hunting and fishing column. I didn't mess around with that, but I could cover almost everything else in the outdoors, and they thought I was a moderately decent writer, and I could get out and hike the trails and do all that sort of stuff, off trail too. And so I got full time as an outdoor writer.
And you wrote for the Star for how many years?
32 years.
Yeah. 32 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And of the 32 years of columns that you wrote, you got to give us top two that you'll share with our listeners, your top two favorite trails.
I really don't know if I have a favorite trail. It depends on the elevation. I mean, some trails are really neat when you're up high. I like there's some pretty interesting canyons and trails up in the Catalinas, and there's some very interesting trails over in the Grahams or Pinaleno Mountains. Santa Rita's too have some nice trails, but in the low down trails, there's so many of them. That, I live in the near northwest side now, so I don't get over into Sabino very much. But there's a lot of neat flat trails over there in what they call the Cactus Forest, and that's where a lot of us old folks go over and hike and so forth. But I don't go there because it's too far away for me to travel.
Well, there's a lot of trails up Catalina State Park up you are.
The large
housing communities are built around big canyons and recreational areas.
Oh, yeah. The Cañada del Oro is a pretty neat canyon. One time Cañada del Oro means canyon of gold. And so I decided, well, I wonder where the gold is. So I started.
There's a lot of pyrite around there.
So I read up a little bit about it. It wasn't a heck of a lot. So I took my two kids and I bought one of these pans, gold pans, gold pans, and we went into the bottom of the Cañada del Oro. It was running a bit, and we got some sand in there, and we started working the sand around in the pie.
Panning for gold,
and we panned, and we panned, and we panned, and we panned, and we didn't find a darn thing. So I guess we were upstream from where the gold came out.
From the
gold,
right? Right.
But we had a lot of fun doing that.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. It was fun.
A lot of the trails that you love to hike back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, are they still accessible to folks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure they are. Almost all of them. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm a novice hiker, and I live in this beautiful Sonoran Desert.
Right.
Yeah, so Jeff knows how to hike from his car to the bar.
Oh,
that's absolutely not true. I'm good from the couch to the refrigerator.
Right.
So if I get at, where should I take my 10-year-old and 11-year-old and start, the family adventure of hiking?
Well, I think you probably, if you're a novice hiker and you got some kids that want to go out and maybe get a taste of the outdoors, I think you ought to join an outfit that knows about it. And we, Southern Arizona Hiking Club, has a once-a-month hike for kids.
Really?
Hikes, yeah. So the adults have to come along, But we've got guides and all that sort of stuff, and we take the kids on moderate hikes to all sorts of neat different places. And so it's a good way to get introduced to the outdoors.
Okay, so you just talked about the Southern Arizona Hiking Club. On the other side of the break, let's talk about...
We're going to really get into the Southern Arizona Hiking Club, so folks, stick around for more on the Fred and Jeff Show. We'll be right back.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife. Who more than self, their country loved.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony's Cigar Emporium, Power Women Investing, and Mayfield Florist.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
We're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and the culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And...
Tune in radio.
No, we already did that part.
I only do that
twice a show.
Oh, good.
I like that. Do you pay attention?
I do sometimes. So, folks, we are interviewing today in the Hydra. What is it? Hydra Clothing and Apparel.
Yeah.
Fun stuff down here downtown. We're interviewing Mr. Pete Cowgill, late of the Arizona Daily Star, and the founder, or one of the founders, of the Southern Arizona Hiking Club. So, Pete. Right before the break, you opened up that can of worms. Tell us about this Southern Arizona Hiking Club. How was it? Why did you start it? How was it started?
Well, it wasn't too long after I started writing this weekly column in the Star about hiking and so forth, and I'd get a phone call every now and then asking me if there's any kind of a hiking club in Tucson, and I checked around and there wasn't. Oh, there were two. There was a hiking club at U of A Ramblers was a hiking club, and of course, us adults couldn't be affiliated with that because we would contaminate the students. You know? And then there was a hiking club down at Hughes Aircraft, which is now Raytheon.
So that was just for Hughes employees?
Yeah. So anyway, I got to thinking about this and finally decided, well, let's see if there's enough interest in Tucson to get a hiking club formed. So I wrote at the end of my column starting in, I guess it was October 1958, if anybody is interested in forming a hiking club to meet at Hutch's Pool on a certain date, a certain time, to see if we could get a bunch of people.
What was Hutch's Pool?
It's a real neat pool of water, permanent water in the Sabino Canyon.
Oh, okay, cool.
And... the date that we were supposed to meet, there was a giant snowstorm, dumped 6 inches of snow on everybody, completely washed out.
Oh.
God, nobody showed up, nothing.
Well, of course.
So I postponed it, and then it was in December of 1958 when I tried again, and it was perfect weather and all that sort of stuff, and 11 people showed up at Dutch's Pool, and we decided after talking it over and so forth, we'd start a hiking club. So we did. And we went from there.
Wow. And what year was that?
1958. Right.
And so this club has been in existence and continuous since 1958.
Right.
So what's the club doing now?
Oh, we started out, as I said, with 11 members, and we grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And at that time, there weren't too many people in Tucson, but we wound up with about 2,500 members.
Holy cow.
But then...
Wait, now, time out. 2,500 members in the Southern Arizona Hiking Club?
Yeah.
How are you putting on hikes for 2,500 people?
Well, we had a lot of neat volunteers.
Wow.
A lot of guides. Well, we didn't have any problem with that. But what happened was that as Tucson expanded, a whole bunch of subdivisions came out, and other little small hiking clubs started to form, like Saddlebrook and just a whole bunch of others, and people who lived in those areas, they gravitated toward their own hiking club. So right now we've got about a little over 1,000 members, and we put out a bulletin once a month with maybe 60, 70, maybe 80 hikes a month, all different sizes, from real tough hikes to the strolls in the wash and strolls around the park and so forth.
And how can people do people just need to go to the website and sign up for the newsletter to get that information?
Yeah,
or
yes,
yeah. Okay, and the website is
it's SAHC, SACINFO.org.
So Southern Arizona Hiking Club, SAHC
info.org.
Okay.
Now that'll get you into the club website, or not the website, it'll get you into the public part of it. And then it'll show there how you can join or that sort of stuff. And you can just take it from there.
And does it cost to be a member?
Oh, yeah, yes. $1,000 a day.
$1,000 a day.
Yeah, Jeff will support. Yeah, he'll fund anybody. Call us at 520-428-5104, and Jeff will support you.
Yeah, I'm happy to donate.
No, I don't remember what the dues are right now, but it's modest.
Oh, sure.
Really modest.
But
someone's got to pay for the beer, right?
That's right, yeah.
You know, Fred was involved for a short period of time with a club that
Still am involved.
Tell us about that.
The Hash House Harriers.
You know about hashing?
Yeah, I've heard of the Hash House Harriers, but I don't know.
It's a drinking club with a running problem.
Yeah. But they also hike, because the Hash House Harriers they'll run all over the place, right?
Run or walk or drink, it doesn't matter.
Got it. So it's
we're a non-denominational drinking group.
Perfect. So cool. So Southern Arizona Hiking Club, SAHCinfo.org,
right,
gets you the information on
that's right.
and 60 hikes a month.
Oh, at least, yeah, at least 60.
That's fabulous.
There's almost a hike every day. We don't, for some reason or other, we used to do a lot of hiking on Sunday, but we don't hardly do anymore, because I guess a lot of people like to go to church and that sort of stuff.
Sure.
But we do a lot of hikes on Saturday, and most of them during the middle part of the week. We have quite a few on Monday, more on Tuesday, not as many on Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday there's quite a few. Saturday a lot, but almost none on Sunday.
So speaking of church and hiking, what is the Holy Grail hike here in Arizona? What's the hike that, you know, you really want to go on? It's if you're a real hiker, a real dedicated hiker, it's something that you shouldn't miss.
Rim to rim to rim in the Grand Canyon.
Rim to rim?
South rim to north rim. South rim to the north rim, and back to the south rim in one day.
In one day?
In one day?
Yeah, that's it's about 50 miles and 10,000 feet elevation.
And how many times have you done that?
I've done it twice. The best time I had was 19 hours.
Holy mackerel.
Across the cross.
Wow. Is there a world record?
I can't do that. Oh, yeah, there's a record. Some guy from Williams, I think, did rim to rim to rim in under 10 hours. I don't know how the heck he could possibly do that.
Yeah, that's
amazing. Yeah. That's crazy.
I think he ran the whole thing.
He had a jetpack on, I think.
Wow. And now what about something simpler for more novice hikers? What would be a great inaugural hike?
Well, if you're a good hiker, you can hike the top of Mount Wrightson in the Santa Rita's. In fact, I'm going to do that on my 90th birthday.
Really?
Which is in August.
Congratulations.
It's coming August, yeah. And it's one way, it's a little over 5 miles and about 4,000 feet in elevation. It's pretty steep in places.
Okay, so round trip, it's 10 miles.
Yeah, yeah.
You go up to about 4,000 feet in elevation.
Well, you start out at 5,600 or 5,500 and you go to 9,400.
9,400.
Yeah.
And how many different layers of flora and fauna are in there between where you start and where you end? I mean, do you start with typical Southern Arizona cactus?
No, you start off in, I think it's mostly chaparral-type vegetation, oaks and things like that, and then you gradually work up to the pines, and when you get on top, of course, there's almost nothing on top because of the wind blows everything away, but it's quite a difference in elevation. In the wintertime, there's usually a lot of snow on the trail goes up the south side of the high peak, and it can be pretty hazardous because the trail is steep and rocky, and if you slip, well, you're going to go
tumbling down
a little ways. Yeah.
Right. So is information on these types of hikes on the website as well? So in other words, where can our listeners go to get information on that hike and who would help people go from rim to rim to rim? Folks in the Southern Arizona Hiking Club, or
people don't do that much anymore.
They don't.
No, they don't. No, the Park Service has been pretty nasty. They don't like people running up and back because they figure that if somebody poops out, then they're going to have to go rescue them.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
And I don't think we've ever had anybody rescued.
They just leave them down there.
We just let the coyotes and buzzards feed them.
Here's your last canteen.
You're on your own. Yeah. But what about the novice hike? What about hikes like that?
Well, like I say, Hutch's Pool is a good one. Like there are areas out in the Rincons and the flat part that are really neat. They call it the Cactus Forest. There are a lot of good hikes in the Tucson Mountains. The National Park Service puts out maps of both the Rincon District and the Tucson Mountain District, and the Forest Service has maps of the forest areas.
That's awesome. So folks, we'll get a link to that. And we'll put it on the Friend Jeff Show website so you can click on that and maybe take the family out for a fun hike. You know, do a little research and take them out for a hike next week. Last thing before we go, because we don't have hardly any time left. When you hike, regardless of the weather, you want to take what with you?
Water.
Period.
Well, sunscreen. I mean, I wear shoes. And
sure,
stuff like that.
Sure. But you got to take water.
You got to take water.
Even if it's the spring, you got to take water.
Well, you never know what's going to happen to you. I mean, you could mess up your ankle, you could break a hip joint, or anything like that, and you're stranded because you're not going to get out.
Right.
So you take
water. So be safe. Take some water.
Well, water is the key. Everything else, you're nice to have, but water is it.
Got it, Mr. Calgo. Thanks for coming
by
today.
Thank you.
We'd love to have you back in the future.
Okay.
And folks, that's another show. Have a great week. Get out there and meet your neighbor, and we'll see you more next week here on The Friend Jeff Show. Let's talk about the good time. Let's talk about the good time. I wish I could just go back to the days I'm speaking of. When a friend would meet you and a smile would greet you. What this old world needs now is an old fashioned love. Ain't it guitar? Yeah. Preach it, son.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Sleeping Frog Farms and Fred's Meditation Salon and Tequila Lounge.